Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. He is so good. He is so faithful. So faithful. He's so faithful. He's so merciful. Aren't you glad for His mercy? Such a good God. Let's look on your sheet there. We've been talking about rooted and grounded in love. We were on the 14th one. We'll wrap this up when we wrap it up. But we're not done yet. We're getting into some things finally, I think, this morning. But all these build on one another. We've covered a lot of ground. So if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back onto the website and listen to the messages because there's a lot of stuff that we've covered and that we've built on to get here and to say some things. You know, you just can't say everything. Some people say, well, why don't you just get up? Why don't you just say certain things and teach on whatever? You can't do that. I mean, if as a preacher, as a minister of God, if I'm doing what I ought to do, then God is, I'm going to Him, asking Him, what should I minister? And so He's going to quicken in my heart and direct me on what I should minister. And then that's what He's going to anoint. That's what He's going to, it's unction. It's He's going to help me do it. So if I just say, well, I just think I'll go over here and preach on this, and it's not what He's told me to do, it's just me. Now, I'm not saying He'll help me as much as He can, but it's not the same as if He said, you go over here and do this, you say this. If I just try to go off on something, it's going to be dead. That's why sometimes you think, well, why don't you just get into this? Why, over here, you know, I have this question. Why don't you got to watch, just trying to answer questions. That's not the same as going with the Holy Spirit. It's different. So there's certain things you might think, well, why don't you just jump into these verses? We've already covered, I think, what we need to cover in order to get here. There's a foundation that's been laid in order to get to where we are right now. Ephesians 3, 14 and 19, this is our text that we've read. It says, verse 14, just look at it on your sheet there. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So we're rooted, grounded. Does that sound like a foundation? Does that sound like what you're standing on top of to go forward? Well, we've said God is love. And so we want to be rooted and grounded in Him and His character and the way He does things. Wouldn't it be silly for a Christian? Christian means like little Christ or like Christ-like, or, you know, you're like Christ. You're like a follower of Christ. Wouldn't it be silly to be called a Christian and not act like Christ or not be like Christ? You would want to be like the one you're named after. If you're a Christian, then you want to be Christ-like. Well, what did Jesus do? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then we've read many scriptures about what love look like in that sense, that Jesus was God's gift and that God loved us enough to send Jesus. He didn't do it when we had earned it. It wasn't like the earth had done enough. And then God said, all right, the earth has earned me sending my Son. Okay, here you go. Now I'm going to send Him into the world. It didn't work that way. Now things had to happen for Jesus to come. Things had to be spoken. Things had to be done legally. Ever wonder why did God wait? God wasn't waiting. God was putting into motion what had to happen so that His Son could be born of a virgin in the earth. He had to do it legally. He had to get men to say certain things. He had to get men to do certain things. He couldn't just come in and take over, because Adam was given dominion over this earth and he bowed his knee to Satan. And so Satan the Bible says, is the God of this world. I mean, he owns it, but he's in charge of it. You don't believe that? Just look around. You think this is God's work? That's why that confuses people. When people think God is doing everything, it kind of makes you wonder about God. If God does everything and is in charge of everything that happens, then people got a right to be angry. When somebody's child dies prematurely, and if you believe that God does everything, why did God take my children? Then people make up stupid doctrines. I don't mean that to be condescending, but you start going off into the weeds to try to explain something because you're believing that God did everything, and if he did this, why did he do it? It doesn't make any sense. No real father would do that. So we got to make up some twisted doctrine that you only believe in church because nobody in their right mind believes that somebody good takes somebody's child or does something else, right? If God's in charge of everything, then when a terrorist blows something up, that's God. That is not true. That is impugning the character of God. That is not true. That is somebody that listened to something else, that listened to a demon, that listened to Satan, that listened to wrong thoughts and went and killed other people. That is not God. No. So he is not in control of this whole thing. He is God overall, but he gave a lease to Adam. Go back and read in Genesis. He said, you have dominion over all the birds of the air, all over all the creatures. You have dominion. He made him king. Or, not the God, but the controller of this world. You could say like a God of this world. If there was a God, it was Adam. As far as you, some people say, well, you know, for all practical purposes, this person's a God of this or that. They control it. Well, God, in his image, made Adam. There is one, only one true God, but he put Adam as the ruler, as having dominion over the earth. And Adam went and bowed his knee to Satan and did what Satan told him to do. Well, if you've given me control, if I have control over my household, and I own it, and I run my finances, but you come and tell me what to do with my finances, am I controlling my finances anymore? No, you are. It's the same thing. Satan duped Adam into giving his authority and his control to him, and he still, just the Bible says it. We've covered this before. I don't have time to go into it. We have messages on it. The Bible says over and over about how God, Satan is the God of this world, how he is the prince of the power of the air, how he is doing things here on this earth. So we don't have to look around and go, geez, why did God let this happen or God did this? God cannot step in and just do whatever he wants. Else Satan would say, you're unjust, you're wrong, you broke the rules. And God will never do that. So with Jesus, he had to do certain things in order for Jesus to come into the earth. He couldn't just come over and say, here's my son, do over, here it is, you're all set, just believe on him and it's all done. He had to get men to cooperate with him so that Jesus could come into the earth legally. And then he had to go to the cross and he had to pay a price legally so that you and I could believe on him and be justified legally. It doesn't have anything to do with him loving us. He loves everybody and he loved everybody before we did anything to earn anything from him. But it has to be legal. And so in your life, when it looks like something isn't going quite right, don't go and blame God the first thing and say, well, God, why aren't you doing this? He's not the one that is missing something. We ought to say, Lord, okay, is there something I'm not doing? Maybe I haven't seen it, what? But I know you're good. I know you haven't failed me. We shouldn't be so quick to say, God, why are you doing this to me? Or why are you letting this happen? We have to know that Satan is the God of this world. He's going to mess things up as much as he can. So when things start happening, you have to say, all right, stuff is happening bad in the earth. I mean, does anybody love the fact, you may love it, the fact that you just got clobbered with as much snow as we did in as short a period of time? You know, you'd be like throwing up your hands. Why am I dealing with this? Well, there's 5 million people just around here dealing with the same thing. But why? You think this is the way the earth looked when God created it? No. You think, really? This is not it. This is not paradise. It looks a little bit different than the Garden of Eden, I guarantee you. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see the difference, and there is going to be a new earth, and it is going to look a lot more like what it ought to. But right now, this thing you're looking, it's beautiful in certain areas, but it's also a pain. And these storms and things that happen, they're not God. They're a result of the fall. And so when stuff starts happening, we just need to know God is not our problem, He's our help. So when stuff starts happening, okay, God, what's the way out of this? How do I get through it? What do I need to do? And He's there to help us. Hallelujah. So we were saying we want to be like Jesus. And Jesus is the image of the Father. And the Father gave because He so loved. Before we earned anything, before we could do anything for Him, He gave. And so that's who we want to be like. Is God. We're Christians. We ought to act like Christ. And Christ is the image. The Bible says if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, because Jesus is the will of the Father in action. Well, God is love. Jesus walked around on this earth and He showed love, which looks a lot different than some people might think. Because when Jesus was clearing the temple with a whip and driving people out, that wasn't the one blip in His earthly walk that He just missed it and was not walking in love. That was walking in love. And it looks a lot different than a lot of people say, oh, you know, they would have said, oh, you know, I know you guys just got off a little bit, but God loves you. You ought to really get out of here. But, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but God loves you. And, you know, I hope you come to see the truth. So some people preach it that way. That's not what Jesus did. He came in and was very angry, and being angry is not a sin. You can be angry and sin. The Bible says be angry and do not sin. But you can be angry. Angry is not bad. Angry will get you, is a tool you can use. When you get indignant and angry about something, you can go forward and get some stuff done. You just got to watch. You can start getting angry at people and now you're in trouble. But Jesus, He was walking in love that day. He was doing exactly the thing He should have done on that day, and He basically drove those people out, turned money tables over. A lot of Christians say that's not love. Oh, He's being mean. Doesn't He know? I mean, He's not. If people see that, they're going to get the wrong idea about God. They're not going to love. God is gentle. Evidently not. Because Jesus didn't miss it. Did He? Does anybody think Jesus missed it that day? No, He was right doing exactly what He ought to do. And He was not gentle about it, but evidently that's what these people needed, or else they wouldn't have listened to anything else. When He upbraided the Pharisees and called them, you know, you tombs, you whitewashed sepulchres, boy, I wouldn't say that if I were you. I mean, that's just mean, some people would say. Well, you don't talk to people that way. They're just going to get the wrong idea. They're going to go away from God if you do that. Evidently, Jesus didn't know that. No, religion has skewed it. Well, we ought to be gotta be gentle. I mean, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because that's what Jesus would do. Really? Have you read the Bible? Don't let somebody that hasn't read the Bible and is not a Christian tell you what the Bible says and what you ought to do as a Christian. Well, Jesus accepted everybody. No, He didn't. He did not preach, well, Jesus would just accept. No, He didn't. Jesus preached repentance. He did not say accept everybody. He did not say that. Go read the book. He said you repent. Turn. He didn't say, well, everything you're doing is just fine. If that's the way you want it, that's the way you believe, that's okay, buddy. Hey, God loves us all. He did not say that. He wasn't nice to the Pharisees. Evidently, that's what they needed to hear. Is it possible that somebody going for they're about to hit a brick wall, actually needs something different than just to be really nice with them? If you're running, if somebody's running down a hill and they're about to go over, you know, into like a cavern and they're drunk or something, you don't go, hey, stop. You're gonna hurt yourself, bud. Oh, I guess you didn't hear me. Sorry. You might, if this person is not in their right mind and they're heading for something, you do everything you needed to, tackle them, whatever, stop, you're going to get killed. You do whatever, would you, or if you really love that person. Let me put it this way. If one of your children was going towards something and they're going to go out in the middle of a street and they're going to get killed, you can see the car coming or hurt very badly, are you going to just talk softly to them and go, well, you know, I hope you stop, but there's a car coming. It's really fast and it weighs a whole much more than you, buddy. And if it hits you, I don't think you're going to do very well. Oh, look at that. Johnny, are you okay? I mean, I tried to stop you. Huh? Good night. You know what you do. If you had to take the hit of the car, you would. If you had to push them out of the way, you would. You'd say, stop. You would be screaming, probably jumping, tackling them, whatever they needed to do. Would you not, parents? Is that love or not? I mean, does love always just go, well... Huh? No. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of stuff that's being portrayed like that as Christianity and the love of God and God just loves it. And it's not godly. Because God's not like that all the time. Does he love us? Yes. Does he just take, you know, he loves you enough to do what he needs to do to get you on the right track. Amen. And he will do that with you as well. If you think that every time you're just like, well, you know, you're struggling with some area and you know that you shouldn't be doing it, and you just think, well, God, I just can't deal with this area. God will love you and his grace is sufficient for you and he'll help you through it. But to think that he is just like, well, you just can't help it and everything. It's not like that. He's not hard either, but he will be what you need to get you past it. He'll help you, and we have to believe that he can strengthen us and help us to do his word. Just like if you look at Jesus in action, he was not always just tiptoeing. Now, on the flip side, what did he do to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? He didn't yell at her. He didn't take a whip after her, did he? Because you know what? She didn't need that. That's not what love would do in that situation. He just said, look, I mean, he didn't get up and take, when they wanted to stone her, he didn't pick up a rock and say, let me be the first one. He said, any of you that haven't done anything wrong, you go ahead and you throw the first rock. And pretty soon there was nobody there. That seems a little different than what he did to the Pharisees when he's saying, you big hypocrite, you tomb. Seems a little different than when he was driving people out of the temple, throwing over money, tables. But in this case, he came and said, all right, you guys want to go after her? Whoever's just, you never done anything wrong, you go and you take the first crack. And then pretty soon they were all gone. And he said, well, where'd everybody go? She said, well, they all left. And he said, well, I don't accuse you either then, but go and sin no more. Don't do it again. But he was real gentle and kind. But see, that's the way people want to make everything. You know, some people won't listen to gentle and kind like that. Did you hear me? Some people won't listen to it. They're past it. You don't talk that way to somebody that you can't. Somebody said it like this, and I like it. You can't be gracious to somebody that thinks they deserve it. You can't be kind and gentle to somebody that already just doesn't even esteem it and already thinks they deserve it. You can't. You try, and they just take it, and they'll just tramp all over you. You can be gracious to somebody that feels like they ought to have. You know what it means to be gracious? Something happens. And instead of getting on the person, you extend grace to them. You're like, you overlook it. You can't overlook somebody. You can't overlook something, though, when somebody's just running, slipshod over. You know, if somebody came to my door and tried to beat my door down, and I said, well, you know, I'm just gracious to them. Just let them in. Hey, you know, what do you want? You want something? You want my bank account? All my cash? I mean, You want to come to my children? I mean, you know, whatever you want. I just want to be nice to you. That's not the time to be gracious. Right? Why do we know this in situations like that, but then in normal life, we got it backwards. We got twisted. Why? Because religion's helped us to twist it all up. Do you know? I don't know why we're just going on this area, but we'll stay here a little bit. You know, as well as I do, there's times when religion has twisted it and people thinking they have to love in a certain way as Christians, that what people have taken is you have to put up with stuff because, you know, after all, you're a witness to God and a true Christian wouldn't do such and such. And you know it as well as I do. If you've ever walked that way and done something, tried to walk in love when you really felt like you ought to do something else and you were indignant, and you really, your sense of right and wrong said, I ought to stand up for this, but somehow you were brainwashed into thinking Christianity would have just let it go and after all be nice. There is something on the inside of you that is resentful. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's like, I should not be putting up with this. This is wrong, but you know, somebody may throw the Christian card at you. Well, you're a Christian, you know, you don't want to give a bad witness. I wonder what they think of Jesus in different places. Was he given a bad witness to himself? No. Pastor Hagin, if you don't know what Pastor Hagin, you know, so Kenneth Hagin Sr., we don't went on to be on the with the Lord, but Pastor, I call him Pastor Hagin. You know, there's Brother Hagin, then Pastor Hagin. Pastor Hagin pastors Rhema Bible Training Center, or Church, sorry, and is the head of Rhema Bible Training College, they now call it, in Oklahoma, and has helped Brother Hagin, or when he was around, really helped his ministry to take off because he's just great at doing all that. But when he was running Brother Hagin's, and he tells this story, when he was running, he came on and started helping Brother Hagin back in the 70s, and he was like his crusade director, so he would come in and he would set up and tear down, and he'd make all the appointments with hotels and all this stuff. And there was this one situation where the guys, they went in and they were supposed to have a meeting, and somehow the people did not do it right or didn't schedule it right or whatever, and they were trying to jerk him around, basically. And he went in there and he got in the guy's face and said, no, the contract says this and we will do this. And he just got in his face and he wasn't nice about it. And the guy was like, well, you're no Christian. No, you're like no Christian I've ever seen. He said, you're right, I'm not, but the contract says this and we're going to get it. And if you would know Pastor Hagenall, he does not take anything off of anybody. He's very straightforward. And some people would say, oh, well, he's not being Christian. Why is it not Christian to stand up for what is yours in business manners, in relational things, in your job? People have been conned into thinking Christianity is just this low-key, mealy-mouthed thing. Well, I'm just trying to be Christ-like. Christ was not a sissy. He was bold. And he didn't care. He didn't think about what everybody was going to think of him. He did what was right and what we're talking about, love. Jesus was the epitome of love on this earth. Everything he did was an act of love. So when we're talking about acting in love, he ought to be our example. He came and died for all of us in this room. But he is not a wimp. He is not just mealy-mouthed. He is strong and bold, and he represents God Almighty. He is God. And when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. As parents, you know it as well as I do. There's certain things your children do, and it's the same thing. You maybe think, well, I can't do such and such because, you know, after all, I don't want to be too hard. And so we buy into certain things about, I mean, because the society, does anybody not know the society has completely abandoned for the most part and is beginning, I mean, I wouldn't say they're completely abandoned, but we're getting there, godly principles in raising children. Right? There are things kids do they would never have done even when I grew up, and that wasn't that long ago, let alone, you know, 30 years, 40 years past that. I wasn't there, but I've heard enough stories, and I've, you know, my parents and such. You just didn't do certain things. Why? Well, families were in church. Families had a godly influence. You didn't have as much junk as you do on television and all the media and, you know, movies and streaming and good night, the music and the videos. You can't even go to the mall and there's videos up on the screen that just like wouldn't even be on normal TV when I was growing up. Right? And so you have this vision of what parenting should look like, and it is not parenting at all. It lets kids do whatever. Well, you know, just love them and see if they'll turn out okay. That is not in the Bible. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. And that's the way God is with us, and that's the way he told us to raise our children. He is love. But love is not this nonsense that we're being peddled these days, that you just got to be so nice to everybody. You be respectful. You be godly. But that does not always just be soft and gentle and not stand up for the truth. It's not true. It's not Bible. It's not Jesus. It's religion. And then you got people going around saying, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus was tolerant and accepting. That's nonsense. Just read the Bible. He was not. He stood up for truth. And we ought to too. If we're going to love, it ought to look like Jesus. Not like some 21st century version of love that people concocted that is not biblical. That people put it together from a bunch of ideas and New Age stuff and a bunch of men's philosophy. Hallelujah. I've not digressed from my subject. We're talking about love and what it looks like. If we're going to love, we need to know what it looks like, not like, well, okay, we're just going to encourage each other to love. Now, we all know what that looks like, and let's go out and do it, right? Because unless we look to the Word, we don't know what it looks like. Because the version of love that the world is peddling is not love. It's a counterfeit. And it brings a snare, and it brings trouble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, God is good all the time, but He is not. There is a time when love will be firm, when what love needs to say certain things. Now, go to the other extreme. People have taken love and being biblical, and they've become hard, and they've become mean, and they've said stuff, and they just say, well, I just need to speak the truth in love. Okay, but what they're really doing is just being flat rude, and they use that as an excuse. So, you know, over here you have people that won't say anything, and we just want to love everybody, we accept everybody just where they're at. I'm not saying you don't treat people with respect, but it's a different accepting certain things. And then over here, you have people that are like, well, we got to just get everybody in line now. They need to line up with the Word of God now, and they just don't care. We're going to tell them right to their face. And they think they're speaking the truth in love, but they're just actually just having no respect for people, no conscious of the way they would receive it. And there's a difference between what Jesus did. Do you think Jesus knew what exactly needed to happen at any given point? Yes. So when he was being bold and strong on something, that's actually exactly what needed to happen. He knew that. See, if we start coupling just being bold and being speaking the truth just at any time, but don't couple it with actually knowing that that's the right thing to do, then all of a sudden you're saying these things and you think you're being just Christian, because after all, I'm being love and I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, but it's actually the time to do more like what happened with the woman that was caught in adultery. And now if somebody thinks they're being bold and strong, and actually that person just needs to hear, you know, I don't condemn you either, you go on. That's actually what's going to get them to where they do. Now you have somebody's life that can be put off track for 10 years. Just like if you have somebody that really needs to just get taken by the scruff of the neck and you start going, well, you know, it's okay. That person can go off track for 10 years because they're like, whatever, Christianity's nonsense, and I'm just going to go. You know, they don't listen to that. Being led by the Spirit is a big deal. It doesn't look the same all the time. We have to know what is the proper thing to do in any given situation. Well, we're preaching today. There's times, you know, we read 20 verses. Then there's times you read just one or two verses and then you just talk about it for a little bit. That's okay. There's different times. Hallelujah. This is more preaching. But in your relationship with your children and your spouse, again, some of the reactions that you have today of people being so lenient are in reaction to people going nuts on the other side 50 years ago and 70 years ago and just having no grace and no mercy. Again, I wasn't there, but I've heard enough talking to people and seeing people. That there was people that were very hard on their children, have no grace, no mercy. You're going to toe the line or else. I don't care what you think, what you do. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. No respect. Taking the authority and taking the way things are done and basically being selfish with it. Like an excuse for me to take authority and really to be rude and condescending and judgmental and self-centered. And so what is the reaction to that? Kids are like, what? An authority in general. If people in authority start acting like that, there is a rebellion. And that's what happened to a degree. But what happened then? Go from over here. Now, like, you know, somebody used to say, the pendulum swings the other way. Now we're going to go over here. Well, we're not going to, no authority. We don't need any authority. Well, that's bad. You know, we get to anarchy that way. And we don't need any authority, and we don't want to be hard on anybody. Let's just love everybody, quote unquote. So now, this reaction now where children were, feel they were being hard, too hard, now we just go over here, and instead of having some grace and firmness, now we're just, it doesn't matter, it's okay, I just love you anyway. And where does that end up? They're not going to work either. So now you got different problems. Don't have maybe the same problem over there, you got different problems. How many of you know God goes down the middle of the road? His truth has been tested. He knows what to do and how to do it. And so if you try to use, let's talk about, for instance, your relationship with your spouse. If you think, guys, that, you know, you always just, you pride yourself on speaking your mind, and so, you know, your wife says something or does something, and you think it's your job to correct her and tell her all the time what the real truth is and have no grace and no sugar at all, and if she comes in with something on, you don't think it looks good, by God, you're going to tell her. That's not going to work real well all the time. Amen. No, you can't just say, well, this is the way it is, and that's what love would do. And, you know, it's just like Jesus turning over and being with the Pharisees. That's what I'm doing, and why don't you listen to that? It's not going to work. Same thing, you know, ladies going the other way. If you think it's all the time to tell your husband the way it is and tell him what he's to do and not to do and just not be in, have any grace at all, that's not going to go well. On the other hand, you just never are honest at all. Just never, because after all, I don't want to rock the boat. Just don't say anything and just let everything go and just hint to not really stand up. That's not going to go well. Love does not look like any one of those things all the time. And if we try to apply it robotically the same way every time, then we start treating human beings like, you know, computers. Now, if you put the same thing into the same computer all the time, you're going to get the same answer. unless something broke in there. And that's the way we treat each other sometimes. Well, I got it now. I know what love is. Here we go. We're going to do the same thing, and I'm going to treat you the same way and everything. This situation demands this response, so I do it, and then it doesn't work because actually you're a human being and you're actually different than the last person and all that stuff. That's where coming in and being led by the Spirit actually helps. Amen. So if we're going to walk in love, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to know what love looks like. Hallelujah. And I think we'll get into that more. I think we've gotten to a certain point today. I think we've covered what we need, even though we just read one verse. We read a whole lot before, and we get back into it. We're just going to talk about that verse a little bit, but we're setting another platform to go a little deeper. Amen. God's good. I think He's helping us.